Good morning. As you can tell, things are a little bit different today. We are coming to you from an empty auditorium. We're coming to you from quarantine during this shutdown of churches and things like that. And we're excited, though, to be able to come into your homes and onto your devices as we live stream the message and the service and everything today. I don't know about you, but for me, the part of this whole virus pandemic thing that I'm probably getting the most tired of is that everybody is constantly posting about it on social media. Don't get me wrong, some of it is helpful. Most of it is probably driving us crazy. In the middle of all of it, though, I found a couple things online that I thought were pretty funny about our current situation that I thought I would share today. One man simply stated this on Twitter. He said, "I honestly hadn't planned on giving up quite this much for Lent." Another guy, when the SEC tournaments and the NCAA tournaments of basketball and everything was being closed down, he put this on Facebook. He said, "Since there aren't any sports on TV, I've had plenty of time just to sit and talk with my wife. Turns out she's pretty cool." I understand that we are living in some pretty unprecedented times right now, and it is hard to know what to do. But today, you don't need advice from me or from Terry or from somebody else. You need encouragement and strength that comes from knowing what the Word of God says. So today, we're going to read a passage of Scripture from Matthew chapter 14. In fact, if you've got your Bibles today, I know things are different. Take advantage of this. Go get your Bibles if you're at home and open it up. If you're with your family, open the Bible up to Matthew chapter 14. Open it up together and follow along together. We're going to read from Matthew 14, verses 22 through 36. And as we do, this is a story that Matthew recorded that deals with Jesus, the disciples, and a storm. We begin in Matthew 14, verse 22. It says, "Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up onto a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. 'It's a ghost,' they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, 'Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid.' 'Lord, if it's you,' Peter replied, 'tell me to come to you on the water.' 'Come,' he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, 'Lord, save me.' Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. 'You of little faith,' he said, 'why did you doubt?' And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. And then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, 'Truly, you are the Son of God.' When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized Jesus, they sent word to all the surrounding country. People brought all their sick to him and begged him to let the sick just touch the edge of his cloak. And all who touched it were healed." In Matthew 14, in this passage here, we find an encounter between Jesus and his disciples. They encounter a storm there on the Sea of Galilee. And I think the way that Jesus specifically handles this situation is very telling for some of the circumstances that we may be facing today. I believe this is an important lesson for us to learn today. And it's a lesson that he showed me a few weeks ago before all this virus stuff began. Jesus was teaching me what he wanted me to see from Matthew chapter 14. And the very first verse is where I found, where I came to something with that maybe I hadn't noticed before. Something that stuck out to me that maybe I hadn't noticed in this way. And it's the very first point in your notes. If you're following along, we didn't provide a bulletin today, but things are just a little bit different. This sermon handout is available not just in person at church. We have some of those here, but also it's available online. If you go to the website, to NineveHChristian.org, it's there for you to be able to look at as well and follow along today. So as you do that, and as we go to our fill-in-the-blank notes, here's the very first point, and this is what really started me looking at this story in a different way. The first point is that Jesus made his disciples get in the boat. Look at Matthew 14, verse 22. Again, it's where this whole story starts. It says, immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. That is the moment when I understood what lied ahead in the story of Matthew chapter 14. When I understood that Jesus, who went off eventually to a solitary place to pray, that he on purpose sent his disciples ahead of him into rough waters, that's when this story started to take shape for me. That's when I started to see things that maybe I hadn't seen before. The next line in your notes is something else I want you to notice here as we talk about what this means. It says, after one of their greatest moments of ministry, Jesus directs his disciples toward a great trial. After one of their greatest moments in ministry, Jesus directs his disciples toward a great trial. You see, Jesus and his disciples had just witnessed one of the biggest, most miraculous, largest attended events in Jesus' ministry. Right before Jesus sends these same men out onto the lake in Matthew chapter 14. We call it the feeding of the 5,000. All four gospel writers record that story. But let's look today at how Matthew captures the story earlier in chapter 14. In fact, it's the previous story to what we're looking at with this walking on the water. This story is what happens immediately before that. So let's read it in Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 through 21. It says, when Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, this is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food. Jesus replied, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. We have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish, they answered. Bring them here to me, he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and they were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. Matthew then says the number of those who ate was about 5,000 men besides women and children. So Jesus in Matthew chapter 14 performs this miraculous multiplying of bread and fish for a crowd that probably numbered 10,000 or more people near the Sea of Galilee, and then he decides to go off to a solitary place by himself to pray. But not before he sends his disciples out onto the lake right into a storm. It's worth mentioning that this is not the only time that Jesus and his disciples encountered a storm on the Sea of Galilee. Another such occurrence happened earlier in his ministry, and it was recorded in Mark chapter 4. Let's read that passage as well today. Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41 says this. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was, in the boat. There were also other boats with him. And a furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" Jesus got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. And he said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." See, Jesus calmed the storm in Mark chapter 4. In Matthew chapter 14, where we're the story we're looking at today, eventually the wind and the waves die down, but not before Jesus sends his disciples out on purpose into rough waters without him. You see, church, the truth is that sometimes Jesus calms the storm, and sometimes he sends us towards the storm. And I don't believe that that means that God is uncaring or that God is unfair. It simply means that God is in charge and I'm not. And in Matthew chapter 14, it's also interesting to note that it's after one of their biggest God events, their biggest God witnessing moments in their ministry, that the disciples are now sent into a storm. In other words, Jesus feeds this huge crowd of people. The disciples are there on hand. They're passing out the food. They're collecting the 12 baskets full of leftovers. They're in the middle of this, we've never seen anything like this kind of moment. And then, at the spiritual peak, comes this moment where they're knocked off their feet. Comes this moment where they're encountered with a storm. It's similar to what happened to Jesus when his ministry had just begun in Mark chapter 1. Look at Mark 1, 9 through 13. It says, "At that time Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven saying, 'You are my son whom I love. With you I am well pleased.'" That here's this spiritual high moment. Here's Jesus is being confirmed by God, by the Spirit of God descending on him like a dove. God's voice is heard approving of Jesus and his ministry. And what happens immediately after that in verse 12? It says, "At once the Spirit sent him out into the wilderness. And he was in the wilderness 40 days being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals and angels attended him." You see, sometimes when we have experienced the high points of God's faithfulness, when we have seen God carry us through big moments that we couldn't have done on our own, when we know the hand of God is there, we expect things are going to go really well, and then at times we're faced with a storm. The next point that I want to look at, that something to notice in this story is in your notes. It says, in the middle of the storm, Jesus inspires courage, not fear. In the middle of the storm, Jesus inspires courage, not fear. Church, this is so important for us to remember. Look at what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 14, verse 27. This is when they see him on the water and they're worried about him being a ghost and they don't know what's going on. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." The NLT, the NIV record this Jesus saying, "It is I." The literal Hebrew wording says, "I am." And this is the Hebrew name of God. It's the same name, I am, that God gave Moses at the burning bush. If you don't know what to tell them, tell them that I am sent you. That's the same name of God that Jesus is saying here. Jesus is literally saying to the men in the boat who are scared of what's going on around them, take courage, I am. It's only the very presence of God that can give us courage in the midst of the storm. But church, if we have presence, if we have the presence of Almighty God on our side, then we cannot live in fear. Lives of fear is not how the people of God were called to live. Look at what Paul says in 2 Timothy 1:17, 1:7 rather. He says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power and of love and self-discipline." The church, if the church, and I'm seeing it every day, if the church is continuing to see all this fear and turmoil in the world, and it is producing fear in the lives of followers of Christ, then that's not what God's intended. That's because we've taken our eyes off of what is important. That's because we've taken our eyes off of Jesus, just like Peter did in the middle of the storm and began to sink. Jesus inspires us in these moments not to fear, but to courage. He says, "I have told you these things so that in me," this is John 16:33. Jesus says, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world." Jesus is promising his disciples that they're going to face difficulty, that just for being with them, Terry talked about persecution and hardship the last two Sundays in 1 Peter, that sometimes just because we are with Jesus, we will be put into situations of trouble. In fact, these men were not disobedient. These men were not facing turmoil because of something they had done. These men were facing a storm because they were obedient to Jesus. And Jesus said, "Take the boat on out to the other side of the lake." So it's clear that Jesus didn't send the disciples out in the storm so that they would be afraid. And it's not so that he could just calm the storm and spare them from the hard part. So why does he send his disciples out into rough waters? And what does Jesus have for you in the midst of the storm? And let me be clear today. I'm not talking just about this, the midst of this craze over the coronavirus, but today I'm talking about any storm that you may be facing or any storm that you may face in the future. When you suffer the loss of a loved one, the loss of a job, financial difficulty, marital hardships, and the list goes on and on and on. Jesus, here's the truth, Jesus has the power to calm the storms of our lives. He does. But often he allows us to walk through them instead. That's where we get frustrated sometimes in our prayers, because we voice these things to God, who we know, we believe that he has all power to take away sickness, to take away death, to bring healing, to take away whatever situation it is. But you know what? The truth is, sometimes God allows us to walk through the storm. God could absolutely calm the storms of our lives, but he doesn't always do it. And so today we have to ask why. Why does Jesus allow us to walk through those storms? It's because I believe that the storm, that the middle of the storm, is when God most often speaks to us and reminds us of things that are most important. That's what we're going to look at as we continue today. With the rest of our time, we're going to look at three reminders that Christ gives us in the storm. It's in your notes. Number one, the storm reminds us that our faith still needs work. The storm reminds us that our faith still needs work. Look at what happens with Peter. This is when Peter comes on the scene in Matthew 14, verses 28 through 31. "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come out to you on the water." "Come," Jesus said. And then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached down his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" In this moment, Peter steps out and takes a step of faith that none of the rest of these 11 guys have taken. Peter is walking into the storm. Peter is voicing his courage to Jesus when he says, "If it's really you, if it's not a ghost, if it's you, really you, Jesus, then tell me and I'll come out to you. I'm not afraid. I'll do it." And yet, even after that step of faith, Peter starts to see the waves around him. Peter starts to feel the wind gusting. And even after a display of faith of stepping out in the water, Peter begins to sink, because he's taken his eyes off Jesus. And church, I don't know about you, but I've lived in a relationship with Christ for a long time. I know what God's word says. I know the promises of God. And yet there is a temptation in myself, in my human nature, to see the wind and the waves of a storm, to see the turmoil in a situation like the one that we're facing now, and to start to think, we're sinking. But it's because I've taken my eyes off of Jesus. Storm reminds us that our faith needs work, that our faith needs strengthening. And we only strengthen our faith by spending more time with Jesus. Jesus is teaching his disciples this truth a lot during his ministry. This is far from the first time that Jesus called out his disciples for their lack of faith. Look at a couple of instances in the book of Matthew. Matthew 6:30, Jesus says, "If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith." You know what Jesus is talking about here in Matthew 6? It's the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus is talking about worry. And he says, don't worry about the things you're going to eat or drink or the things that you think you need that you don't have right now. He said, God clothes the flowers. God makes sure the birds are taken care of. And if he does that, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. Faith. Church, I wonder what Jesus thinks when his church, who's supposed to have faith, What Jesus thinks when we're out in Walmart in the middle of the crowd, in the middle of the storm, freaking out because there's not toilet paper on the shelves. Because we're not supposed to live in fear. We're meant to live in faith. Look at what he says in Matthew 8, verse 26. He replied, and this is Matthew's telling of the calming of the storm. He replied, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Then he got up and he rebuked the wind and the waves, and it was completely calm. Jesus questions their faith. Why are you afraid and don't have faith? Because guess what? All I have to do is snap my fingers. Jesus has control of the situation. Jesus has overcome the world. And in those moments of fear, and in those moments where we face the storm, it's very often because our faith needs strengthening. And church, the only way to strengthen your faith is by growing closer to Jesus Christ. The only way to strengthen your faith is through continually spending time with Jesus, through his word, in prayer, walking, allowing him to walk side by side with us, even through the storm. Number two, the second reminder that we find in the storm reminds us who God is. The storm reminds us who God is. This is one of those things that you start to see as a theme throughout Scripture about hardships and sufferings, that in those moments, in the valley of the shadow of death, it's often when we see, when we can glimpse the character of God. Look at what happens in Matthew 14, verses 32 through 33. It says, "And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. And then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, 'Truly, you are the Son of God.' Well, now they see it. Now that the wind and the waves have died down, now that he's snatched Peter out of the water, now they see it. But just a few minutes ago, they were saying, 'Well, it must be a ghost, because we've never seen anything like this before.'" It's that moment of fear. It's that moment of uncertainty that shows the disciples who God is. We look again at Matthew 14, 27, and then this is where we said Jesus is revealing who he is. Look, it says, "But immediately Jesus said to them, 'Take courage, it is I.'" Now, he's saying, "I am." He's saying God's name. He's revealing that he is God himself. But you know what else he's doing? He's saying, "Hey, guys, I'm here. This is me, Jesus." They thought it was a ghost. They had no idea what was going on. And Jesus says, "You can have courage. I'm here with you now." In the middle of the storm, one of the things that we're reminded of is who God is. By knowing the presence of God, we can come closer to who God is. In his book, my wife and I have been doing a morning devotional book that Paul David Tripp has put out. It's called New Morning Mercies. And in that book, Paul David Tripp says this about this scene where Jesus walks on the water. He says, "Why did Jesus send his disciples into the storm? He did it for the same reason that he sometimes sends you into storms, because he knows that sometimes you need the storm in order to be able to see the glory. For the believer, peace is not to be found in ease of life. Real peace is only ever found in the presence and the power and the grace of the Savior, the King, the Lamb, the I Am. That peace is yours even when the storms of life take you beyond your natural ability, beyond your wisdom and strength. You can live life with hope and courage in the middle of what would have once produced discouragement and fear, because you know that you are never alone. The I am inhabits all situations, all relationships, and all locations by His grace. He is in you. He is with you. He is for you. He is your hope. The storm can serve to remind us of who God is. And if we've lost sight of that, for whatever reason, then maybe we need a storm that will stir that back up in our hearts. Maybe we need a storm that will show us who God is, and that God is bigger than whatever you're going to face. The third reminder, the last reminder that we'll look at today is this. The storm reminds us that there's still more to be done. Look at what happens at the end of this scene. We tack these last few verses onto this for this reason, to see what happens after the storm, after they get back on dry land. Look at Matthew 14, 34 through 36. It says, when they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret, and when the men of that place recognized Jesus, they sent word to all the surrounding country. People brought all their sick to him and begged him to let the sick just touch the edge of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. In Matthew chapter 14, it's a busy chapter in the ministry of Jesus. The disciples have just facilitated one of the largest mass feedings that we've ever seen. They feed 5,000 men plus women and children. Then Jesus sends them right out into the Sea of Galilee into a storm. Jesus comes out. They think he's a ghost. He's walking on water. Peter walks on water. And the waves miraculously die down. And as soon as they land on dry ground, there's more work to be done. Church, do not lose sight that in the midst of whatever craziness you're going through right now, whatever personal or family turmoil you might be facing, there is still work to be done for the kingdom of God. There is still work to be done. Maybe in this time, maybe it's different work than what you're used to be doing. If your work is normally within the building at the church, guess what? You don't just get a break for 2 weeks. There's still work to be done in the kingdom. Maybe it's looking after the people that are around you. Maybe it's looking after the elderly within our church. Maybe we've got people that have been reaching out our arms all over this week in times of turmoil. And guess what? It's the storm that causes people to come together and to say, what can we do? Because the storm reminds us that there's still stuff to be done. And it brings the church together more in function and purpose sometimes than in times of peace. So church, don't forget that there's still work to be done. Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 24, verses 12 and 13, in what we call the Olivet Discourse. He says, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. We've seen those first two things. We've seen an increase of wickedness. We've seen the love of some growing cold. But church, Jesus says, whoever stands firm to the end will be saved. Church, that's our encouragement to you today. Don't let the wind and the waves bring you down. Stand firm in Jesus Christ. Allow the storm to remind you that your faith still needs work, that your faith, you still need to be drawing closer to God so that he will increase your faith. Let the storm remind you of who God is, and maybe that you could see his face clearly for the first time in a while. And let the storm remind us, his body, that there's still much more to be done. The last note in your handout today is what we will close with. It says, church, when you struggle in the storm, don't forget to hold the hand of Jesus. Look at these last two verses in Matthew chapter 14, verses 30 and 31, and this is what we'll close with today. But when he, Peter, saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. And immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You see, the truth of the matter is that Peter couldn't do it on his own. And neither can you. In another moment with Jesus, between Jesus and his disciples in Matthew 19, Jesus says, with man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Church, I encourage you today, as we close and as we have this time of invitation, to look not at the storm, not to be overwhelmed by the wind and the waves and the turmoil and the fear, but as we face this storm together, to look at what God desires to teach you, to look at what God has for you, even in the middle of the storm. We're not meeting together for at least the next 2 weeks. Church, use that time to draw closer to God. You don't have to do church things just in the church building. We are the church no matter where we are. It would be foolish of us to look at this storm and not use it as an opportunity to draw closer to God, to see what God has to say, to see what his word would have for us in this situation. So church, be encouraged. Take courage, even in the middle of the storm, by holding to the hand of Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, today, we don't know. We don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know what things may come, even if this disaster is averted, and we don't know what may happen down the road. But God, we know that you're in control. We know that you still reign. And God, I believe you desire for us to learn lessons even in the middle of the storm. So Father, take our eyes off the wind and take our eyes off the waves, that we would look clearly and see you. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.